This is the Jason and Alexis Show podcast, presented by our delightful friends at The Free House. When you listen to the podcast, you can thank The Free House. We thank them all the time, right, Lex?
Oh, we love The Free House. Thank you, Free House.
Thank you, Free House, and thanks for the beer.
Lex and Dawn, I have a great idea.
Yes?
Thank you for asking. I would like to take you two out to lunch. Are you game?
Let's do it. Where are we going?
We are going to the Lowry. I love the Lowry.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorite places. They have such good apps, and there are various ways that they can serve you. Three ways. First, we can go inside, or you can order online for the Lowry from one of their delivery partners, or you can pick it up from the restaurant. Should we go inside, though?
Yeah, let's go inside. Let's go have some breakfast.
Okay, and then we'll get some food to go, and it's all my treat.
Can we get food for like 3 days? I'm just asking for a friend.
I think you're kind of stretching my generosity, but they do have amazing breakfast and mimosa flights and Bloody Marys. But Dawn, I don't think you can get the Bloody Marys to go.
All right.
Ooh, and it's Bloody Marys all day, every day.
Well, but I thought Mama needed a beer. Don't you want some Free House beer at the Lowry?
Yeah, actually, let's do it all. Why not? I'm
Dawn,
thirsty, and I get out.
I guess I'll be driving.
You are driving. You can make reservations. You can check out the menu. You can order pickup, and you can order online at thelowryuptown.com.
Is it back? Get it back. Get out of the house.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason and Alexis. I'm hearing reverb. Oh, they're in the morning, live on MyTalk1071 and live streaming all over the earth at MyTalk1071.com. I'm Jason Matheson, and joining me every single day when she's not threatening to leave me to become head free sampler woman at Costco, please welcome Queen of the Pizza Rolls, Alexis Thompson.
Hi, buddy.
Hello.
Hi, Fluffy.
And good morning to you, Dawn McClain.
Good morning, Fluffy.
Good morning, Bunny. We'll just pretend. And good morning to Kenny. Good morning, Kenny.
Hello, is this thing on? Hello.
I can hear you. You're not a ghost. You're not in Bly Manor. And good morning to all of you on this Monday, October 19th, 2020. 6:03 is the time. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the day. Welcome to a brand new week. Welcome to National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day. Oh. That's ridiculous. Welcome to National LGBT Center Awareness Day. Welcome to National Seafood Biscuit Day. Welcome to National Kentucky Day. And welcome to your very first sip of delicious coffee.
This is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
How the hell's your coffee?
Dawn McClain,
yes.
How was your herbal tea today?
Oh, my tea is great. It's organic chai tea, and it's just delicious.
Beautiful. Kenny? Your coffee
my
today?
Coffee, it tastes blue and it tastes like grass. I must be drinking the Kentucky blend.
Oh.
Look at you. It's a great Dolly Parton song, too. Blue, yep. Why the grass is blue. Fantastic song. Mine is really needed today. I am, I have a headache. I'm tired. I did too much this weekend.
Oh,
so
no. This
is truly, truly. Capital N necessary. Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
We'll check in with
fishing. We're fishing from the same side of the boat, Jason.
Oh, really? Are we on the same side?
I have a headache and I'm exhausted. And as soon as I woke up, the first thing I thought of is I started calculating when I can go back to bed.
Oh, my goodness. We are on the same side. As I was driving in, I'm like, okay, I just got to get through the show. And
hello?
Then. Oh, there. Oh,
hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You sound like a possessed doll, though.
I am one. I switched back to my old mic.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not sure. Shoot.
No, it's fine, because that other mic, we could literally
Whatever
hear
works.
Angel talking anyway, so that was fantastic.
Oh, this that's is, true. Yeah, that one was, you can
it picks
hear
up
through the
everything.
Walls.
Oh, yeah. I could, okay. We could hear Zen breathing, for heaven's sake, with that other mic. But yeah. How's your coffee,
okay,
Lex?
Yeah, good morning, some? Fluffy. Good morning, Don.
Hi.
Good morning, Kenny. My coffee is hot. It's same with you guys. A lot this weekend. So it's very necessary.
Yeah.
And it tastes divine.
Fantastic. Dawn, did you have a busy weekend too? We Kenny and Lex and I have already chimed in and put a check by that box. Did you have a busy weekend?
You know, not too much going on. Watched some movies and stuff like that, but no, not like super busy. I did go to the Deadly Drive-In though.
Oh, at Rosedale.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, can you explain, like, I have tickets. I'm going to go. How does this work? Can you drive us through it, please?
Yes, I wasn't allowed. You're not allowed to have your cell phone in there. They don't want any pictures or anything like that, or you messing with the ghouls that come out. But basically, it's in where the old Herberger's was at Rosedale, like underneath part. Sort of where that parking garage is. They have these tents set up, and you drive into your stall underneath a tent, and there's all these like tarps that come down. So your car is pretty much enclosed around. You're given a radio to put inside your car, and they take your keys because they don't want people to get too scared and run over one of the actors.
Smart.
I wondered how. Okay, you've answered one of my. Okay.
All right, so this is a flip phone event, and it's really cool because they give you a QR code and you scan that, and then that goes to a YouTube video and it explains how they got the idea. They got it from it was happening somewhere in Japan where they ripped off the idea. And then also they're talking about, you know, what the night's going to be like. But then it's like there's this killer on the loose because there's a killer in the mall. So it's like this whole side plot where things go wonky. So you get in your car and then, you know, there's like there's flashing, there's strobes, there's lights. And then people basically, you don't get out of your car. Your doors are locked. They try to get in. You've got like somebody with a Jason mask on. You've got all kinds of crazy, creepy people, and they show up out of nowhere. They're creeping along your car, and then all of a sudden, boom!
So they come into your tent little area.
Yeah, they come into your tent area, and the thing that's almost scary is you're anticipating looking all around you, trying to see where they're coming in because it's dark in there, you know.
Yeah.
But like some of the flaps that you drive through, they're blowing in the wind. So like you think one of the flaps is the people. I'm like, it's the flap. And you know, it's just fun. It's not something that's you know, that's like going to make a kid have nightmares or anything like that. They say 14 and up, I believe. But it was really fun. You know, because there's nothing going on, guys. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a pandemic.
Yeah.
And but no, I really enjoy myself. Also, don't eat before you go because Crave has a full like about 8 different things that you can get out there. You can get French fries, cheese curds, all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
and they'll bring them to you. Yeah, and so get there early. Get there like 20 minutes early so you can eat.
I thought it was a bathroom thing, because what if
too.
That happens?
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what I thought.
You're like, no, there's a bucket in the back.
No, you don't get out of your car the whole time. And it's about a 30-minute experience.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had a great time. It's fun to just do something. My gosh.
Yes, it's so smart, too, with everything that's going on. It's a great social distance.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
And for the actors, too, I bet they're having a fun time.
Right. Nobody's been able to perform. So this is a great thing. I don't know. It's a really cool, unique idea. I'm so glad that Flip Phone brought it.
At what point do they take your keys?
Once you pull into the tent. Like there's specific instructions. You watch the little video. So get there early, get some food, and there's a video that you watch. It tells you everything to do. And there's a few left, by the way, if anybody's listening out there. I believe there's a few spots left on maybe, I'm not sure what days, maybe today. It looks like there was a few for, I think they were just the Mondays. So, but the rest of them are sold out.
Yeah. It's been, well, people are yearning for these types of things because there is, you know, there's not going to be trick-or-treating in a lot of neighborhoods. You can't really have Halloween parties. You can't do this. You can't do that, especially with numbers rising. So this is one of those things. I'm telling you, that's why I am optimistic when we're on the other side of this. People think, oh, we're not going to go back to plays. And no, I think it's going to be the opposite. I mean, we're going to be so desperate to do anything communal like this safely.
I mean, we're going to be able to get back in there in here and really appreciate these things. You know, like I'd love to go to a comedy show and I know that they're open, but
it's different.
It is different. And, you know, it's the deadly drive-in, and Lex, I'll send you the link so you can
put it on
our show page for people to get those last tickets.
On the other side of that, so that's something that you can do. I did something this weekend that I used to do, and, well, it goes without saying it's very different. I have some observations I'll explain. Ooh. But first, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, brought to you by our good friends at Southern Lights and Dr. Lisa of Wayzata Cosmetic Surgery and Spa. We put together a great list of resources. To find that list, it's very easy. Just go to mytalk1071.com and enter keyword awareness. Very easy. When we come back, I'll tell you that, plus a sports icon. And that word is thrown around all the time. But a sports journalism icon has passed away. We'll talk about Sid Hartman when we come back. It is perfectly splendid that you're here. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Live on demand and streaming at mytalk1071.com and on our app. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. Thanks for being here, everyone. So, Dawn was telling you about the haunted drive-in at Rosedale. Congratulations to Chad and the folks at Flip Phone. They always do great events. I didn't go to any haunted things. I did something that I used to do all of the time before the pandemic. And if you are not new to the show, you know that most Saturdays you could find me and my husband, or I did it pre-Colin, at the Mall of America. I would go every Saturday. And I started doing it actually when Lex and I met. It was right around that time that this tradition kind of started for me. Because unlike most human beings, and I recognize that I'm really weird like this, the mall does not stress me out. I wish I could see Kenny's face because I'm sure the mall, especially for locals, is not a destination for whatever reason, whether it's too many people or very touristy. None of those things bother me. I actually, and Lex knows this, it actually is a zen moment for me. Yeah. And it's always been. I enjoy it. But I enjoy shopping, and I'm a kid of the 80s, so I love the mall. All of those things, it's just a fun place for me. Anyway,
you'll like routine, too.
I love routine.
When you get to Mall of America, you have a set thing that you do, too. So
yes,
that's comforting.
Absolutely. Great observation. And yeah, absolutely. It's very much a routine, and I love the social aspect of it. Well, we were there this weekend. We decided I haven't run errands. Like, there were so many things on my list that I haven't done. I am not joking. Probably since the beginning of the summer, like things that I needed to do or I kept putting off or I've wanted to do. So this was our first weekend not at the cabin because the cabin's basically closed down. So we were in the city. We went to the Mall of America, and I have to say, I appreciate all the safety measures. I want everyone to know I'm not complaining about them. I don't want people to misread me. But it was very different. And what I mean by that is there are so many stores that kind of require you now to have an appointment. So the spontaneous nature of just walking around the mall and entering a store is now not there. And it made me sad. It was really one of the first things about the pandemic that really, it really kind of slapped me in the face of, wow, this has drastically changed. And it hit me, especially like Apple. Oh my goodness. And I understand it. Again, let me just, I don't want people to misread me for the love of Gumby.
The last time you talked about this, someone's like, poor Jason. He can't go get his product.
No. And please don't misread me. This is just an observation, and I respect it. I'm glad all of these places are taking this seriously. This is just an observation. But Apple, I'm not kidding. You basically, I would need to bring an arm and a leg and identification, a blood sample from my mother. I would need a cuckoo clock from an antique house. I would need my medical records. Then I would need a teacher's note. And then I would need references from last three bosses.
And then come my back rental next Sunday.
And then my rental history. And then I could maybe get an appointment. And then even if I get an appointment, there's no guarantee I can enter the store. And then if I enter the store, I can't touch any products. Have I made myself clear?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, very. The worst is you get there and you try to get an appointment, you know, just on your phone.
Yeah.
And then you can't even that day. You have to come back.
Oh, no.
Like 3-4 days later. That's what happened to us.
Right? And again, I'll just keep saying it for the humorless and for the people who just hate us in general. This is just a humorous anecdote. This is just an observation. I love that they're keeping their employees safe. They should do this. This is not important. But anyway, there's a sign, Lex, that says, and Colin and I thought, oh, wow, okay, they're allowing people to enter the store out. Because it said, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, but the sign led me to believe that I could still enter the store even if I didn't have an appointment. So Colin, and I go, you know, Colin, I don't know if I want to wait in line. I said, I don't want to, you don't need anything here. I want to see this keyboard for the iPad. I want to get it for my mom because it's a new keyboard that mimics more like a laptop keyboard. Mm. So there's only two people. He goes, Jace, what do we have going on? Let's just wait in line. I don't care. So we waited in line and then we get up and the guy, he goes, can I help you? And I go, yeah. I said, I pointed to the keyboard. I go, I just want to check out that keyboard right there. He goes, well, you really can't do that. And I said, I want to see it. And he goes, well, you can't do that. And then basically telling me I need an appointment in so many words. And I'm like, I thought the sign back there said, and I didn't say this to him, but I went like this. I was like a robot that was shutting down. I was like, didn't the sign just, okay. I go, forget it. And I walk out of the store and I'm like, okay, that's a little frustrating. Basically what he was telling me was you just can't meander around the store. You have to have like an escort, I guess. That's my understanding.
Ah.
I'm sure an Apple representative will correct me momentarily on Twitters and I welcome that. But
There must be a separate line for that.
Girl, I don't know.
The browsers.
But anyways, that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, I am not built for this. I am not built for quarantining, mall quarantining, because this is just, And
well, how was the rest of the mall? I mean, we know this is happening at all Apples, but just in general, what did it feel like walking through there, especially on a Saturday, which is usually hustle bustle?
The crowds are picking up, which I'm so grateful for all of the stores and all the retail employees. There was some good foot traffic. Not all the stores, again, I want to be clear, not all the stores are like that. Like, I walked right in to Mac to get my TV makeup. I walked right in. I didn't need an appointment or, you know, a strand of Kenny's hair. That was great.
That's rare.
Yeah, I did have an appointment because I was interested in researching Peloton, especially if we're going to get a second surge and I wanted to be proactive with my health. And so I did have to have an appointment for that place, which I understand.
Is there a whole store of Pelotons right now?
Yeah,
wow.
There is. Yeah, and there's such a run on them. Fun fact, there's such a run. No pun intended. Delivery in our area, end of January. That's how popular these things are because everyone's working out
cycling
at home. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, observation. Maybe I'll just, I'm going to cut down my mall trips for a little while or bring Kenny's hair with me when I go to stores. We'll be back after this, everyone. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Am I talking 107.1 Everything Entertainment? Everything Icon. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. You heard the news yesterday, Sunday afternoon. An icon, a legend. We could throw out some other words. Just a fixture in the Twin Cities. Sid Hartman passed away at 100.
100. Wow.
And the day he died, he still had a column running on the day that he died in the Star Tribune. Yeah. He did.
Yeah,
I think he wrote.
Stop.
No, I think he wrote three columns a week still, and was responsible for over 21,000 byline stories in his career. Just think of, you know. Thank you. I know. I read that. And I was like, okay, you can throw that number out there, but just take a moment today and think about that. 21,000 stories in his career from 1944. And then the one yesterday was his 119th of 2020.
Oh my gosh.
He was
so competitive and just like, I'm not quitting.
No.
I can still write. I'm still doing this.
Yeah. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Kenny, when you think of Sid, we're going to lean on you a little bit here because of the other universe that you occupy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you should lean on me or not, because I work with guys
that know him very, very well, and I knew him, but I didn't know him well, and he was a crusty bastard, is what he was. I mean,
yeah.
You're going to see all sorts of tweets and stories about his generosity and how funny he was, and et cetera, but. There's a group of us that we don't treat each other nicely. We're mean to each other, and Sid was the king of all of us. we looked to him for inspiration on how to treat each other poorly, but then kind of silently, quietly prop each other up and help each other out and be buddies.
Yeah.
But we are not nice to each other, and Sid was the master of that.
Oh, it's the way you guys show love.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe. Maybe it's the way we take out our frustrations on the rest of the world,
on
people
on
we
each
know
other.
Won't take us down the hall to the office where we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, oh, it's like a sibling, right?
Yeah, when I was a kid in the business, my first contact with Sid was I would go to Gopher basketball and hockey press conferences, and we always had to wait. We couldn't start the press conference until Sid was there. So that was my first meetings with Sid. And then at one point in my career, I said something really, really highly offensive. And I got in trouble for it in the newspaper, and a guy named Doug Groh wrote a column about how awful I was. And there were letters to the editor about how awful I was. Meanwhile, Mike Tyson was about to have another one of his fights. And Patrick Royce invited a bunch of his friends over to his basement to watch this Mike Tyson fight. So I'm there with, believe it or not, Doug Groh. And the room is very tense, and I'm feeling very awkward, and it's just, I wish I wasn't here. I wish Royce would have told me Doug Groh was going to be here. And then all of a sudden, you hear the door open upstairs, and a steady stream of Marine Barracks profanity coming from Sid. He comes down the stairs into the basement, looks at each one of us, and works us over, gives us about 5 to 10 seconds of real vile but funny material, hammers each and every one of us. And then we all sat down and watched the fight, and it was a good time. And Sid, without even knowing it, relieved all the tension.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah. So, but most of my contact with Sid has been through Royce or Joe or the guys downstairs at Channel 5 in the sports department, and all the guys in radio and sports that have all worked with him and know him well. So that's where most of my stories come from. And there are some hilarious stories about Sid. I mean, he was accidentally a very funny guy. What's the clock? Okay, we're good. Yeah, one time, good. Talking to Bud Grant, the old Vikings football coach, and Bud and a few other guys decide to take Sid to South Dakota to go duck hunting. But Sid, you know, not a hunter, not good with firearms, not really doesn't really want to be there. He just wants to be with Bud and get a column out of it. So they decide to stash Sid over on the other side of a hill at a pothole away from them so at least Sid won't kill any of them with his air firearms.
Oh, my gosh.
The ducks aren't flying. There's no ducks around. The ducks aren't flying. Sid, over the hill, around the corner, shoots up about 3 boxes of shells.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. And again, not a duck in the sky.
No.
And so Bud Grant and his guys go over and Sid, what's going on? What you shooting at? We don't have anything over here. Oh, the bleepers are everywhere. They're coming out of the trees and they're attacking me and they're all over and they're in the water. And evidently Sid was shooting at everything but ducks.
Oh. Squirrels and he's bored.
Blackbirds and who knows what, sparrows, whatever was on the wing, Sid was taking a shot at and assuming they were ducks.
Birds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So he was a fun and interesting guy, but like you said, a very hard worker. Hard worker. He had a tendency to big up his home teams when they probably didn't deserve it. You know, he called a lot of people my close personal friends and we're talking big figures in the world of sports. And as it turns out, they were his close personal friends.
Yeah. It wasn't bravado. Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't bravado, but it was backed up with fact.
Backed up bravado.
Yeah. He was the king of the name droppers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Angel has a connection with him only because, you know, he worked for the Timberwolves. And
right.
Sid was at almost every single game.
Yeah.
And he actually, when he was like, he was 100 because he had an energy about him that, you know, was kind of like light and younger, at least from, you know, what Angel saw. One day he was walking through the arena and he scared Sid and everyone else on the Action Pack team that went around like, oh, Angel scared Sid. It was like this big deal. So every time when he saw him, you know, at games afterward, he'd kind of give him a like, hey. He was the guy that scared him.
Did he give him a mean nickname? Because that was usually what he would do. He would pick a very offensive name out of his book of offensive names, and he'd nail it to you, and that's what he'd call you, and, you know.
Oh, you know what? I don't think so. But he just knew who he kind of gave each other a look like, yeah, you're that guy.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
You scared me. You're that guy. Well, I was just thinking of him in the context, and Kenny, kind of piggybacking off what you said. He's one of the few journalists where the interviewer is as famous or more famous than some of the interviewees that he's encountering. You know what I mean? He's especially at the beginning of the career, he's bigger than some of his subjects because it's rarefied air that Sid achieved. You know, local journalists don't always become fixtures in markets like this. But when it does happen, because it does, because when you're in a market like Seattle or here, or when there's a lack of any real celebrity, I mean, we have Prince, but the local journalist back in the day, not so much anymore, thanks TikTok, but the local, you know, journalists would become the celebrities. Sid was one of those,
and Kirby. You say Sid, and everybody knows. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You know who you're talking about.
But 100, man, 100. Was born on the north side, March 15th, 1920.
Gosh. He worked for 75 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he was 9, he did the paper runs. He bought 100 papers for $1.10, sold them for 2 cents each. And made 90 cents each time.
That's
but
great.
He, like 2 cents for the newspaper.
Yeah.
Wow. So cool.
Just amazing. So you'll be hearing much more about it all day long, and I'm sure in Kenny's other universe, you guys will be talking about it as well.
I'm sure.
641, everybody. When we come back, Alexis started The Haunting of Bly Manor, and I finished it. Ooh. Observations from both ends of the house when we return.
Now, it's time for one of the dumbest answers in game show history.
Most of the electricity in our home flows from the blank to the what?
From the plug to the vibrator.
Whoa! This has been the dumbest answers in game show history. Back to you, Jason.
Can somebody pick Kenny off the floor, please? Can we have a nurse, please?
Batteries have really revolutionized that whole hobby.
That's right.
Yeah. Hobby. Imagine plugging it in.
Hobby. Did he just quit, Don? Did he just say hobby?
Yeah.
But, you know, water painting.
Each their own.
Bird watching.
I am not here to judge y'all.
No, not at all. We do. The whole show was a judge duty, but yeah. We wouldn't have a show if we're not.
I retract the last thing I said. I am here to judge you.
We'll strike that from the record. Don't worry about it, Kenny. Jason and Alexis.
Plugging it in.
Whew. Yeah, be careful too. Moisture. Hope you're grounded. Hope you're grounded.
Get into details.
That's right.
Do it.
That's right. Put your feet on carpet, everybody. Jason and Alexis in the morning, live on demand and streaming. My name is Jason. Her name is Alexis. Her name is Dawn. And his name is Kenny. Thanks for being here. The Haunting of Bly Manor continues to just kick ass on Netflix.
Is it number one, I think?
I think it's
definitely trending, or one of the top 10.
Oh, and really quick, let me just throw this out there. Did you guys see the tweet on Friday from Sarah Paulson? Congratulations to the Ratchet folks. 48 million people watched in 28 days Ratchet on Netflix.
Wow.
That is nuts.
I didn't see that tweet. That's fantastic. Yeah. That was a great series.
Yeah. So Haunting of Bly Manor, I finished it. Alexa started it. Ladies and beautiful people first. Lex, thoughts?
You should go first. No. It's very slow. I got through, I'm in episode 5 right now. I had to stop it. I just thought, I'm hoping that you're going to say it gets really good, because at this point right now, it's dragging for me. One thing I really like about it, though, is that they're going through a scene. You get one character's point of view, and then they'll kind of rewind and not necessarily back to back. You'll see the scene again, but from the other character's point of view. So in terms of storytelling, I really like how they're doing that. Of course, I like the whole dollhouse and the dolls. I think that's really interesting. I hope that they get into that more. You just kind of see it and some of the different characters. Most of the characters and people I don't really care about. The one who I mildly care about is the young boy named Miles. Just because, you know, they kind of go into a little backstory about, you know, what happened to him. Right. And it seems like there's multiple things that are entities or people kind of taking over. So you can differentiate between, like, is he the little boy or is he something else right now? But other than that, it's really draggy for me, Jace.
Oh.
I just finished episode 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Dawn, how are you feel?
I feel it really came to a screeching halt this entire episode. I feel like episode 3 and 4 just could have been one episode. I'm just starting to see it as an editor and being like, we don't need all this stuff at the campfire. There's a lot. It's 70% drama and 30% horror, if that. So far, they better be able to justify all of this.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, this is a 9-hour movie when you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's do they need all this? It could have been maybe. I haven't gotten to the end yet, but I hope there's a big payoff, because if not, I'm going to feel like I've wasted a lot of my time.
Same. I have the polar opposite reaction. I actually. And Colin is now in the middle. He has shifted political polls. He's shifted a little bit. He loved it until the last few episodes. And it's funny. There were two episodes in the middle that I did not like. The campfire one is one of them. So, yeah, Dawn, I'm 100% with you. That was hard. Mm-hmm. That was hard to get through. But then it picked back up for me. And then there, the penultimate episode, it starts with, do I say this? Yeah, I do. I do say this. The penultimate episode is a predominantly a big flashback, mm-hmm, which explains the origin of the haunting of Bly Manor to begin with.
Mm.
The origin of the haunting of the manor itself.
The and house it kind of seem very haunted, though. And that's the other.
Well, see, okay, well, then if you feel that way, then there is a payoff in the penultimate episode, okay, because it kind of explains the rules and what's the force that is holding this together. Like, what really is going on? The penultimate explains it. And
how many episodes are there?
Nine, I think nine.
Yeah.
Okay. So episode 8 is the explainer, and then I really enjoyed the finale. So, but Colin did not. Big L liked it. Okay. He did not get into the love area. Mm. I'm small L loved. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I did, however, love the finale. I love the finale, but
so there's some closure. It's explained. Yes. It's just taking so long.
It's taking a long time to get there. Yeah,
through mud. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. I won't disagree with that. They could have shaved 2 or 3 episodes out of this, and it would have benefited them. I'm 100% agreeing with you on that.
So that's a shame because, you know, are people now when they get these Netflix deals? So it's like they're given an opportunity to do something, and it's like you're given this budget, and they probably tell them, we're giving you a budget for 9 episodes.
Yeah.
Because this is expensive to create. So are they stretching out this story just because they have the ability to do 9 episodes with Netflix when it could have been shorter? Question. Like, okay, we don't need $100 million. We just need 60. You know what I'm saying? And that's just like affecting the storytelling to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do not, as I probably will end up liking it more than you two, I can still be critical of the middle. There is a dip in the middle. But to me, the end, I was satisfied with it.
Okay,
I was
good.
I was slightly more than satisfied. I actually really enjoyed episode 8. Phil Jones is sending a message. The explainer, oof, yeah. I enjoyed the backstory.
Explain the perfectly splendid.
They explain everything.
Okay, good. Okay. Because that is annoying as hell.
Isn't it? She's like a repeating record. Like,
oh yeah, that stops. That stops.
Okay.
That stops. The perfectly splendid, that stops. But all they do explain. You will basically, you know how there's, Dawn, you can explain this better than me. There are rules dominating these supernatural universes. Like, okay, why can this ghost do that and that? They explain basically the rules of what's happening on the premises of Bly Manor. Like, what's happening to these people? Like, what's the rules that are governing this ghost or these ghosts? I'll leave it a little ambiguous. And I really enjoyed the backstory, which you don't know until episode 8. And I'm like, oh, this is, okay, I get it. I get it.
Feel anxious that I have to drudge through episodes 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, but
I was hoping it would pick up, because I'm one episode behind you. I was hoping it would pick up at the next episode, but you're telling me I'm going to be...
Yeah, no.
Okay, I mean, I don't not like it. It's just like I'm more impatient. I want people to get to the, you know.
Let's get to it. Yeah.
You're more in line with everybody else. I'm a little bit of an outlier on this one. I still loved Hill. Now that I'm done, Hill House was superior in so many ways. But, I actually really enjoyed this. So I shouldn't say
so
really.
Keep going.
I actually enjoyed
keep
it.
Going, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're there. I mean, you're halfway there. I mean, just finish it. Because the conclusion to me is satisfying. So.
All right.
We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.